And welcome back to Coast. We are with John Holland as we talk about his work bridging two realms. We will take your phone calls with him, and he will permit questions about your dearly departed ones. So if you have somebody very close to you who has died, he may be able to help you there. So we'll be back with John in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast. Your calls is at this hour with John Holland, and his book, of course, is called Bridging Two Realms. You are adamant that people who want to explore psychic or mediumship get proper education, aren't you, John?
Absolutely, absolutely. Because in the book, I break it down. There's three kinds of psychics, George. I talked about this earlier. Someone who is open psychically and they're not even aware of it. They're very sensitive to big crowds. They're very empathic. They take on other people's emotions. They're feeling good one second. They walk into somewhere. They're depressed. They don't understand. They're unaware. The second person, partially developed, they know about psychic ability, but they're not doing anything with it. Or they started to maybe get educated, and they never followed through. And the third kind of psychic is the controlled ability, where they understand how the mechanics of this ability works. They are in control of their ability. The ability is not in control of them. So when people say, when I see students come to the class, my classes, and they say, they're with me all the time. They're untrained. You have to learn to turn it on and turn it off. So you should be the master of your ability. It should not be the master of you.
Well, a good point indeed. And when people study, where do they learn from? I mean, do they need people like you to be with them? How do they learn?
I believe that we're all born years ago, George, when Born Knowing came out, I was taught that in England that mediums are born, not made. And that made sense to me. Not everyone is a medium. But 20 years later, I realized that we all have the potential. We all have the potential for it. Someone may be born with the higher potential, and they can do this easier, where someone not so much potential, they have to do a lot of work and training to get to that level, just like anybody can learn to play the piano, but will they become a pianist? So, yeah, I'm a big advocate of the proper training because it's very sensitive, George. And, you know, this does a number on your body. It takes its toll. But also importantly, I want you to have the proper training from a teacher like me or a reputable medium, someone who's been doing the work, who understands what you're going through. Because I think too many people are getting fastly trained and they're out there. And what if someone lost a kid, George, right? And someone who's not yet trained properly or ready to see people, so the mother comes there because someone told her about mediumship. She never heard of it, or she's going out there and see, okay, let me see how this is. Well, the medium's not on because they're not properly trained. Well, that may be that woman's experience and never see another medium again. So, and you have to remember, when you're doing this work, whether you're a psychic, medium, there's huge responsibility. People's lives are in your hands. That's a very sensitive part. So that's why look for proper training. Go for word of mouth. Get a place that's been established. That's what I say, George. Yeah, I'm not the only teacher, but I've been doing this work for a long time.
I went to a seance a year ago, and my jury is still out on this one, John, because it was strange. They darkened the room so you couldn't see a thing. Everybody had to hold hands. And, you know, then all of a sudden the spirit came out and did its thing. Ironically, in pitch blackness, there was a microphone stand that they had set up, and the spirit knocked it over. So how does that happen, right?
Yeah, right. Well, you know, where I was trained, the Arthur Findlay College, it's been around for decades, training mediums properly. I mean, they really work you when you go there, real proper training. They used to do seances there, and then of course there was fraud, so they no longer allow trance mediums to do darkened seance room. You have to allow a red light in the room, and the participants can wear the night vision glasses, because there's back in the day, I mean, early 40s and 30s, when this mediumship, because of the wars, a lot of parents were seeking, you know, or husband and wives were seeking, you know, mediums out. There was a lot of charlatan stuff going on there, but I love and respect the college for not allowing total black in rooms anymore.
But they also searched us, and women weren't allowed to bring their purses in.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, maybe in case someone was, they thought maybe someone was part of this. I don't know why
somebody would bring a little pen light in
oh,
or something
yeah,
like
yeah.
that.
Or Everybody has a phone now that has a flashlight. So,
yeah.
And you turn it on
and find out there's some guy in there pretending to be the spirit, you know, when the light's on.
Absolutely. Forget about that. I mean, I'm glad that they're doing this too. And the red light that has to do, because they say of the ectoplasm, and they have to, you know, the medium has to build up the energy for the ectoplasm. You can do it in red light. So I think it's brilliant that they're allowing that to happen, and they refuse to have any transmediums in darkened seance rooms.
All right, let's go to the phones. They're lining up for you, John. Let's go to Alexander, driving in Louisiana. Welcome to the program, Alexander. Go ahead.
How you guys doing tonight? Thanks
Great.
For having me on the show.
Great. I hope you're not you're not flooded out down there, are you?
Oh no, I've got dry roads right now.
All right, that's good.
We're on a supply boat, so you know I'm used to getting wet anyway.
Yeah, I guess so. Go ahead, sir.
But the thing I wanted to comment about is your after death communications that you were explaining about, and how those people will communicate with from the other side. And I think you had mentioned something about, like, you know, birds or whatnot, like little things like that.
Absolutely.
The two experiences I've had with this was two folks. One is my ex-fiance, and one was a really good friend of mine. Unfortunately, you know, didn't last with us or whatnot. Their most powerful personalities about themselves was how they communicated with me.
Right.
It was always in a dream state for some reason. But, like, just for instance, she was extremely funny, sarcasm, like, you know, crack lip to sarcasm. And after she passed away, I would wake up in the middle of the night just laughing. I couldn't understand why I would wake up laughing, but I knew it was her, you know, trying to let me know, like, hey, I'm okay. And she's just, like, somehow making these jokes, you know, in the dream state. And then the other guy, his most greatest thing about him was he was able to give great advice. And I was wanting to buy a sports car like he had. And he said, you know, it's a sports car and you'll get it. Just be patient. And I'm driving my second brand new Camaro I just bought the other day. So it's just like, my thing is, like, do you have any comments on that or whatnot when it comes to, like, someone's, you know, persona projecting their, like, their powerfulest personality traits?
Absolutely. Absolutely, Alexander. I just told earlier, they just had me on the show, the doctors, and the woman who came, she lost her son in the Las Vegas shooting. And his personality came through. Now, he was a soldier, George, in Alexander. And now anyone would think, okay, a soldier, he must be really strict. This guy came through so playful, so humorous. He was 29, but I thought he was 23. And the mother, in fact, would always call her soldier son the man boy, because he was like a little kid. So I think it is possible, Alexander. When a medium or even yourself, you can feel the personality in someone, and a medium is explaining that to the client or the person in the audience, it's overwhelming. But sure, Alexander, why wouldn't they? And I got to ask you, Alexander, when you had these...
He's already hung up, John.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I was going to ask him, how did he sound like he believes it? It sounds like he felt something in his soul, in his heart, like, oh, no, this is real. Yeah, so absolutely, you could feel their personality come through in a dream.
Sure can. Next up, let's go to Thomas in La Jolla, California. Hey, Tom, go ahead.
Hi, greetings, George, on this very rainy night here in Southern California.
Yeah, it is.
I, John Holland, very fascinating information. My question is, how can the average man, the average woman in the coast-to-coast audience set up a afterlife personal board of directors? For example, I mean, I would love to have as counselors Abraham Lincoln or Joan of Arc or John Kennedy or General George Patton. Even more importantly, John, there have been over 70 magnificent guests of Coast to Coast that have passed away, such as Jim Mars and the Good Witch Camperini and physician Roger Lear. How can we set up our own personal board of counselors, board of directors, so to speak, to advise us from the afterlife as effortlessly and as clearly as, say, the president contacting a world leader through the White House switchboard?
Wow. I love your audience, George. Great, great questions.
Great questions.
I believe we have our own team of spirit helpers anyways. Can I call in Abraham Lincoln, doubt it. Can I call in Elvis? Doubt it. But you know what's really strange, too? It's not even strange, Tom and George. It's when I'm writing, George, now I never went to college. Now, yet I've completed 6 books. I know for a fact that some thoughts come to me, George, out of the blue, not when I'm sitting down wanting it to happen. I'll be watching television or doing something else. In comes these beautiful words of inspiration. That's why I have a pad everywhere or I record it into a phone. I know I have a spirit team over there that are helping me, Tom, because it's not my words. It's I never had proper English training, but yet this stuff comes through. And I really believe this, too, though. I believe that some people... like a doctor. How do we know, George, that they're not getting help from a doctor on the other side who's helped guiding his hands also, besides the doctor's hands education? Some kids are born, George, with an unbelievable musical talent who can play full concertos at 3 years old, but yet the kid was never trained. Maybe someone says, is it a past life? Or is someone helping, being inspired by them, someone on the other side? So, Tom, I think you can ask for guidance also and say, if you get quiet and say, okay, I need a little help with this. The spirit people know who to come forward for you that's going to be best fitted for your personality or for the way you work. So I believe you can call them in. But I can't do a reading per se, George, for, someone says, can you call in Elvis, John? Only if I'm sitting with someone who knew him, Priscilla or his daughter, because it's a three-way communication. It's me, the spirit on the other side, and the person who has that love connection to them here. So can we call in people, Tom? Yes. Can it be, it would be nice to call in some people right now who, to help influence the world, but maybe they are anyways, and we're just not aware of it.
Donna's in Cleveland, Ohio. Hi, Donna. Go ahead.
Hi. I have 2 things. I've been finding little feathers, like, everywhere, like, in my purse and stuff.
Feathers? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, little tiny feathers, like bird feathers.
Now, what do you think that signifies?
Are you asking me, George?
Her.
I'm asking you.
You, Donna. You don't know. I mean, anybody have feathers on the when they were living?
No. I just wondered if it meant anything. But other than that, my mother passed, and I have
Donna had... too. Let me hold on for a second. I believe too, if you don't mind. Feathers. Now, Donna, you haven't been to the beach lately, or in a pet store, correct?
Oh no, I'm in Cleveland.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love that. Thank you so much. Because George, a lot of people they'll go to the beach. Oh, I found a feather. No, it's a seagull. That's where. Not every sign is going to be them. But, sometimes. A rock is a rock, you understand? But, Donna, I people have found feathers. My friend Gretchen, every time she's thinking of her dad, there will be a feather at the front door, on her bed, and, of course, someone would say, well, it's a down pillow. Come on, why are they in your purse, Donna? What, did you have a stuffed pillow in your purse? I doubt it. So they're little signs from heaven, too, though, and it could be from your mom. And if you say also, Mom, if this is you, then give me another one. Show me another one in the strangest of places. And, Donna and George, for the audience, the signs are very subtle because a lot of people say, well, why can't my mother show up in front of me? Are you kidding me? If your mother shows up in front of you, I think you would die. Your hair would turn white. It's very, very subtle signs. Are you her only daughter, Donna, or the youngest daughter, Donna?
Youngest.
Because I'm here, I never know sometimes if it's going to work, but if the love is there, I'm hearing here too, I believe from your mom too, she's my baby girl. And she's also talking about Donna here, who would have passed, please, too, that they're showing me the same condition my mom had. So it's easy for them. Who had the lung cancer or the emphysema, Donna, please?
I had lung cancer, but my stepfather had lung cancer.
Okay, and because they're taking me right to the lung, so of course this is a gentleman that was married to your mom, and he's passed, you're telling me, yes?
Right, yes.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And isn't there one other sister for you still, Donna, too, please, here?
Yes.
Yeah, because your mom is saying, please mention my other daughter. There may be more kids that are coming through here, too. She's just making me aware. Now, I hear you, darling. I'm talking to them right now. Today's 27. Is this your birthday next month, Donna, they're talking about?
No, my birthday was the 2nd.
February?
Birthday was the 2nd of February. Both of us were born on the same day.
Okay, it had to be February or very coming up here because she's saying, please say happy birthday. Please say happy birthday. And Donna, too, where else in your family, I don't know if this is your dad's side, where are the twins, Donna? Where are the twins?
And my sister has twins.
That's what I'm talking about. This is so your mother, darling. And keep asking for the feathers. And don't just throw them away. Some people save the pennies, you know, and it's like a whole jar full. Put them in a little jar or something and just say thank you to your mom, Donna. Just say thank you. And one last thing, too, darling. She said just take care of your leg. Did you hurt your leg? Or is there something wrong with your leg?
Well, my foot.
Okay, is it broken? Did you just hurt it or something?
No, it's just I have like a really bad bunion.
Okay, all right. She's talking. I think it's more than that. It's someone else there who's having the knee issue, had the knee operation, or something about the leg, not the bunion. But thank you for that. But yeah, so know that your dad, the stepdad, your mom coming through, you know, happy birthday, Donna, from them also. Okay.
Thank you so much. Oh, God, thank you so much.
Her. Thank your mom. They're the ones that are doing it.
Now, when these come to you, John, I mean, how do you know, you know, it's not a figment of your imagination,
Absolutely, yeah. I teach that too, George. Intuition or the stuff that I get, it's strong. It feels different. Imagination, you may get an imaginative thought. It comes in and it goes away and it never comes back again, really. An intuitive thought for someone is, like for you, George, you may get, it's time to write that book again. It's time to write that other book. You may get that thought over and over again. You're like, no, I'll write it in a year or so. If it keeps coming back, that's your soul, that's your intuition, that psychic ability. Imagination will just come in and go. I know it's different, George, because it has nothing to do with me in my life. And I wasn't sure, being so early in the morning here on the East Coast, I said, let me try. If it's meant to happen with the other side, it'll happen. So it's usually a different kind of feeling when you get than imagination.
Bridging Two Realms, where do you get the book, John?
You can go to johnholland.com. You can go to Amazon. And if they go to my site, there's a link right there. There's like two free gifts that come with it that is going to end soon. It's like, why not, right? It's a meditation booklet and also a special video for people. And I think it's going to help a lot of people, George, whether they're bereaved or the people who want to understand what's happening when it comes to them, their own psychic sensitivity.
Let's go to Don in Mesa, Arizona, see if we can get your question in. Don, go ahead.
Hi, how you doing?
Great.
Hello.
Good. I guess I would start off with I'm a skeptic. But I would really love to believe that everything you're saying is that you have those abilities. What is it you can tell me about my situation with someone who passed in 2014 in my life?
Okay, and I welcome skepticism too, George and Don. Skepticism, it's cynics are another thing. You know, they could have a spirit show up in front of them and they'd say it's some hallucinogenic light from the sun or something. And skepticism, all you're saying is, you know, I'm open, you know, please show me, but I'm open also. And when you talk about this, Don, here also, where can I place the person, Don? Now, if it works, it's fine too, Don. I feel like I got a male figure that's coming through here too. Don, when did your dad pass, sir?
He passed in 1999.
Okay, I feel like I got a father figure that wants to come through, Don. And I don't do this myself, so I know this is not me. Don, who's known for the card playing or the gambling or the card playing? Who's known for playing with the cards?
No one, really.
Okay, is anyone into Vegas, or that's been is Vegas connected to you at all, or someone or visiting Vegas, please?
No, not really. No, I've been there more times probably than anyone else in my family.
Okay. All right, hold on, Don, and hold on, John. We'll let you both pick it up when we come back after this break, right here on Coast to Coast AM. We are back with our final segment with John Holland, author of Bridging Two Realms. He is a renowned psychic medium. Let's go back to Don in Mesa, Arizona. And when we left off with Don, John, you were talking about Vegas, and he was saying that he's the one who's been there more than anybody. But I'll let you two pick it up. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Don, you still there?
I'm still here.
Yeah, so just remember that I said that, something about card playing. That's also my symbol for Vegas. But I do feel like I have a father figure that wants to come through. And, Don, did you also, please, did you lose a brother, please?
No.
Okay. Is there a younger male that has passed too? That be younger than your dad, Don, please.
Yeah, that would. Well, I lost a son.
Yes, sir. Because as I'm here, I'm hearing that he's with me. I do this energetically. I can feel a younger spirit come through. And to me, George, it's the same. It's a younger male. That's how I get this here. And with his passing, Don, too. Just don't give me too much information, Don. His passing is unexpected, please.
Yes.
Yeah, I feel I don't have a lot of time to say goodbye, Don, as I'm here. And there's a and I'm getting a question mark with his passing. And there's also, he's taken on some of the responsibility of his passing, Don. So I'm not sure if it's a sudden passing or if he had something to do with it, or he didn't get help in time. But he's making me aware. I hear you, kid. He's making me aware here, too, though, Don. He has one other sibling here, too, please.
Yes.
Yeah, is this a sister?
He has a brother, but...
Oh, okay. Yeah, he wants to. He's making me aware. I'm not his only son. I'm not his only son or only child. But I do feel, Don, don't worry, my friend. He's with your dad. He's with your dad. And, Don, now your name is D-O-N. Is there another Don, another D-N name? Is there a Danny? Is there another Donnie, please?
No, there's a David.
Okay. I just feel like there's another D-N. It could be Diane, D-N. Don't make it fit into anything else, something about D-N. That's my sign. There's another Don here, or Danny, or Diane, D-N, Danielle, D-N. But can I ask, if it's not too personal, Don, because I know he's your son, can I ask how he passed, please?
He took his own life.
Yeah. That's why he's...
You felt that, John, didn't you?
He's taken on, yeah, and it's very, you know, a lot of people who pass like this, sometimes, Don, and I'm sorry for your loss, Don, I really am. Sometimes a suicide is not, to me, it's a mental illness sometimes. Sometimes they may be you doing drugs and it's an overdose. I don't always feel it, but he is taking on some of the responsibility of his passing, Don. But no, he's always your son, Don, and your father's with him. Your father's with him. And one last thing, too, Don. When you were growing up, my friend, was your dad not the lovey-dovey? I mean, our parents love us, I understand that, but is your dad, when he was here, Don, is he not the kind of guy who says, come here, son, let me hug you. You can be all that you are, you can be. Was he like that in life, Don?
No, not really.
What, was he a loving dad?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I just feel like he's making me aware that I feel like I should have done this more. I should have told him more. But I know you raised your son with a lot of love, Don. Also, he's talking about here too, though, Don. A lot of people do this, and I don't like to get general information. Where is the tree planted for him, Don? Or where's the trees planted for him?
I believe his mother planted some sort of a tree someplace for him.
Yeah, because he knows about the dedication. He knows about the dedication. But, Don, have no fear, my friend. He's with your father, okay? He's with your father. Just like I said earlier, they're the ones who come and get them, Don, all right? And don't let go of that playing card thing, Don, too, though, okay? So I don't know if it's playing cards, poker, or something about Vegas. And it doesn't mean you go in there, Don. It's just validation, okay? So
all right, good luck.
Sorry for your loss, Don.
John, and I got to tell you, as you were saying, there's nothing wrong with being skeptical about these things at all. That's healthy, I think.
Absolutely. And as long as people have an open skepticism, they're just like, please show me. Skeptics usually have an open mind, and they want to. I can never give 100% proof, George, physically, until we go over there ourselves. But if I can give the best evidence, or if someone says, read something that I wrote, or if I said something to them that makes them go do their own investigation, or they, well, maybe my mom is okay, maybe this is real, then I feel like I've done my job.
What has been one of the most satisfying episodes you've encountered?
Oh, wow. Okay.
That just, you know, you just went through it and the family was just delighted and everything just worked.
It's, there's a story at the end of Bridging Two Realms that's pretty cool. I don't want to give that away, so I'm going to just use another story.
Okay.
There's so many stories, George.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil your book. We don't want to do that.
Right. Every once in a great while, when I do an event or I'm doing a private sitting, I'm inspired to bring something. One time I brought a turtle. Another time I brought a sunflower. One time I brought a star. It's those ones that, you know, and then you give them the item. So it's almost like the spirit world is given something extra, special delivery. Now, this woman who I just read for, who lost a son in the Las Vegas shooting, you know, the TV people set it up. I didn't know who she lost, but while I was waiting for her to sit with me, I started drawing on the back of the pad. I had this time. I drew a heart with wings on it. And so I'm doing the reading. Even before then, I was in a Hallmark store, and I got something in my head about, you know, George, when two swans put their heads together, it makes like a heart,
yeah,
that symbol.
Yeah.
And so I said, oh, am I supposed to pick up a swan? No, I didn't ask. Hello, spirit world, send something. It just came to me. And so I asked the person at the behind the counter, do you have any swans? No. And I said, I think it's supposed to be something about heart and wings. Couldn't find any heart and wings, but I did find a pair of heart, a Christmas ornament made out of ceramics, put it in a bag. I thought it was going to be for a venue that I did in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, but it wasn't placed. But I brought it to this woman, and sure enough, you'll see this on the doctors, even though it aired yesterday. You can watch it on my website or Facebook or something. But she went to a designer when she lost her son. She designed a shirt with the 58 names of people who passed away, and the emblem is a big heart with wings. So here I am. I turned around and showed her the heart that I drew and reached into the bag and gave her the ceramic wings here. So when they do things like that, George, I think it's totally cool. And the story at the end of Bridging Two Realms is it every once in a while, if I need a boost, I go back to that memory of what happened at the end of the book in the epilogue. So they're all special to me, George. And if I can help a parent who lost a kid, that's the main reason why I do this work. Then I feel like, you know, I'm living
it's
my
worth
purpose.
It. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to first-time caller Brian in Illinois. Hi, Brian. Go ahead.
Hey, George. My phone's kind of wonking out on me here because I can't hear you right now, but I'll just go ahead and keep talking.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I've been listening to you for about 9 months now.
Well, thank you.
And I think you got a great show, and you got great people and great guests. And first of all, I want to, because you're last guest, I want to go ahead and wish Robert Wadlow, the Alton Giant.
Oh, yes. He would have been about 100 years old, but
yeah,
what a classic guy.
I barely heard you there, yeah. So, yeah, he just turned 100 years old on February 22nd.
That's right.
Your guest tonight, Mr. Holland, I was calling for a couple different reasons. I just knew it was tonight that I was supposed to call, and he mentioned the pennies and the dimes, and it's like
sure.
I get a lot of pennies and dimes from my mom. But my mom, when she passed away, she sent a hawk. And the day of her funeral, there was a hawk out here in front, and I videotaped it. And when my sister passed away, she brought her fledgling with her that time. And so there was two hawks out there after my sister
passed
away.
That's amazing. That's a great sign, too.
But, yeah, and I've had a lot of dreams and everything. I don't want to go into that. But anyway, yesterday I knew that it was time for me to call. Plus, I'm calling about Karen Carpenter, too. But I had a hawk visit me yesterday. I saw it right up
there. What do the birds mean, John?
I think it's if Brian has an affinity with birds and Brian, with these hawks, are they indigenous to that area? Do you not usually see them?
Well, Mr. Holland, up until the time my mom passed away, I had never seen a hawk land anywhere around here.
Ever. Now he sees them all the time, John.
Yeah, right, and that could be his own. I call them calling cards from heaven. And if, Brian, you're thinking, okay, that's a sign from those on the other side, then I would honor that. And what's going to happen, too, in the future is when you least expect it or when you're not feeling that great or you're down here, you know, the hawk will probably show up here. Because, George, a lot of people think when we leave the body that they no longer are with you. They may not be here physically, but they are there spiritually. And if they were here physically, they'd be helping you and helping Brian.
Sure.
Because they left the body doesn't mean that they're not there. So I would trust, though, that Brian with the hawk, too, though, and say, you know, just say thank you. That's really, it's a sign. It could be a cardinal. It could be
an owl, right?
An owl, a hummingbird. Yeah. But when Brian, that's Brian's personal calling cards now for the people that that he has lost.
Yep. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it. Let's go next to Joe in Long Island, New York. Hey, Joseph, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, John.
Hey, Joe.
You mentioned Mary, and I kind of see her as someone you could talk to informally as you're going along, and she'll give you some practical advice. And then suppose you get psychically, I shouldn't go on this plane, say the Malaysian plane, and then you get on this plane. What do you do then? And you realize you made a mistake.
What's the first part of that? I didn't hear who you said you called.
Oh, Mary, like you mentioned.
The Blessed
Mary.
Virgin Mary, I see.
Absolutely, and a lot of people, too. And what I didn't understand, Joe and George, is when I started getting into this work and I heard people say that they're channeling Mother Mary or Kuan Yin or Archangel Michael, and I'm like, wait a minute, out of the 7 billion people on the planet, she's coming to you. They mean the energy of Mary, the energy of Kuan Yin, or the energy of someone here, too. So I believe we can be influenced by, you know, those deities, and I believe, you know, Virgin Mary, I don't know why I have an affinity with her and the Lady of Fatima and Lourdes, but is she a guide or an influence? I'll take it as a spirit helper, but when you're talking about the Malaysia plane, I'm not sure what that is. That was
the missing plane that disappeared. But I guess what he was saying was, if you get on a plane and you realize you shouldn't because you may be on the wrong plane, what do you do about something like that when spirit talks to you about that?
Absolutely, it's you know. A lot of people feel safe when they're traveling with me, George and Joe, because they said if he's on the plane, then he's gonna
then we're okay.
Absolutely. But you know what, too? How about this goes back to sometimes I can't explain some things, why some people pass and why some don't, Joe and George. Like the 9/11 people, so many people that were supposed to be in that building were either late, they didn't go in, their daughter needed a ride and complained that she didn't want to take the bus. So I find that, you know, is it fated when we pass away? I'm not sure. If I got a very, very strong feeling about a plane, you know, logic would say, well, you better get on it. You have to wait for the next one. I would follow it. But you have to say, okay, is this my fear, or is this coming to me, or is this coming from me? Is this coming to me, or is this coming from me? But, yeah, so, you know, good question, though, Joe. Good question.
Let's go to Barbara in Tallahassee, Florida now. Hi, Barb. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you for taking the call.
Sure thing.
My mom passed a month to the date, exactly. She was elderly, extreme age, and had a stroke, and went home with hospice. She started talking to her deceased brothers and her mom and dad. She got very excited when she saw them. I've had some inklings. I'm a little bit psychic. I can't see things, but I can sense.
Yes.
I felt like she was leaving, and I called the hospice nurse to come. She said her stats were within normal range. And I said, well, when's she going to pass? And she said, she could die tonight, she could die in a month, and she walked out the door. I patted Mom on the head, and I said, Mom, you've been a good mom. You've been here a long time.
Beautiful.
We love you, and we'll get by somehow, but we'll miss you.
Yeah.
She died in 2 hours.
Yep.
And
yep.
We kept talking to somebody named Alberto. We don't know who that was.
Yeah.
He blew out the batteries in the remote by the bed. And at her memorial, a mockingbird landed on a pickup.
There you go.
And she told me when I was little that I came to the earth because a mockingbird kept she and Daddy awake all night.
How about that? Well, you got about a minute or so left, John.
Yeah, beautiful story, Barbara. And, you know, I would trust that, too, that sometimes the people here, they need a release to let them go. Sometimes you could walk out of the room to go get a cup of coffee after being there for 72 hours and they slip away. A lot of people will do that because they don't want the person experiencing what's about to happen. So beautiful. But thank you, George. Fast 2 hours, my friend.
It really moves. And again, tell people where they can get your books, John.
Yeah, johnholland.com, or they can go to Amazon, Bridging Two Realms. Like I said, it's for the people that have lost people, how to have their own communication, and for people who want to understand how to perfect or live in this world on a psychic level. So Bridging Two Realms, johnholland.com.
And with the book, can you learn how to do your own communicating?
Absolutely, because there's different ways, George. I mean, there are therapists that can induce you now, I mean, medically trained, that they're using for soldiers who are suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Yeah.
These soldiers were seeing the people that have passed before them and very comforting. And there's a special meditation and inviting them in. And there's mirror gazing. There's different techniques that you can have actual communication and, you know, just quiet the mind and just, you know, it's all in the book, Bridging Two Realms.
John, thanks again for being on the program. Keep in touch. 4 years has been way too long, okay?
Thank you, George, so much.
All right, take care. That's John Holland, the name of his book, Bridging Two Realms. Learn to communicate with your loved ones on the other side. Amazing. We'll stick with us all week long. We've got some Great programs coming up for you right here on Coast to Coast AM. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasor, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.